Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
Before I left, I preached two sermons on plan to succeed. Have you got a plan to succeed this year? Or have you just turned up and said, well, hope we'll see what happens? Nothing just happens. I always say to our leaders, what you expect is what you inspect. If you have no expectation, you'll have no inspection. So as you have a vision for the year, we talked about having a vision for your family, vision for your finances, a spiritual vision, a vision for your health. We talked about all that, having a plan to succeed. And so today we start 21 days of prayer and fasting. And 21 days of prayer and fasting, you might want to fast sugar, might want to fast carbs, might want to fast eating late at night, might want to fast TV, might want to fast social media for 21 days. And in that, instead of doing those things, you spend time with God and get the mind of God and have an encounter with God. That's the whole purpose of 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's to sharpen you for the next 12 months. And so I want to speak to you on the topic today, pray to succeed. Don't just plan to succeed, but pray to succeed. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, it says this, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident, everyone say confident, that he who hears us, whenever we ask for anything, he's talking about God, that pleases him. And since we know he hears us, we make our requests, and we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Pretty amazing scripture there. We are confident that God hears us. He's not a distant God. He's a relationship God. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have a relationship with God. You know, it's an amazing thing to walk through life knowing that God is on your side, knowing that he directs your path, knowing that he brings comfort and peace, knowing that he has power for every situation you have and wisdom for every situation, knowing that he wants to bless you. He's a good dad. You know, out of all the things that God could have described himself out as, the first thing he describes himself out is as a father. And he wants to show us that he's into relationship. He's not just a distant God. He could have said, I am the big dog. I am the big kahuna. I am whoever I want to be. But he says, no, I am father. Because it's about relationship. And God wants to have a relationship with his children. That's why he created man. He had everything. He didn't need our worship. The angels were worshiping him. But he wanted relationship. He wanted a family. And when you have a family, I have two children. I want my children to succeed. I want them to be blessed. I want them to be prosperous. I want to help them in life. And God is even more interested in us as a father than I am in my own two children. I will go the extra mile for my children. But God will go to the place where he will send his son to die on the cross. That's how much he's into relationship with us. And so God is there, and he's saying to us through the scripture, be confident that I hear you and ask for anything, because if you love me, you'll ask for the right things. And when you ask, I'll hear your requests and I'll give you what you ask for. The Amplified version of this scripture says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to it and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we will have granted us our present possessions, the request made of him. Amazing scripture. It's saying this, that if you understand who you're asking and you know who he is, see, the problem is too many people don't know God. They know, they've been taught God is a religious God. He's a distant God. He's a God with a big stick in his hand and loves whacking you when you do the wrong thing. No, my Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. My Bible says he's a loving father. He's a good father. He wants to bring good gifts to his children. He wants to prosper you. So, understanding that he's a good God, I can come confidently into his throne room, boldly, the Bible says. Come into his throne room boldly. Come into the place of encounter with God boldly. Be confident. If you have sickness, he can heal it. If you have financial needs, he can provide for it. If you're feeling down and discouraged, he can encourage you. He gives you. See, if you understand who he is, you're confident he will do what he says he will do. But if you don't understand who he is, you won't be confident. That's why people have tried to minimize God. They've tried to say he's irrelevant. He's not there. Why? Because they want you to be inconfident in what you could actually do. When you understand an all-powerful God who creates the universe, who has all power, and anything is possible for him. When you understand he's on your side and you understand he's for you, then you understand that in him, you are unstoppable. See, the problem is we put out, you know, you think about this. We're in this room right now, and these speakers are hung. They're hung by some chain motors, and I'm standing under them because I'm confident that he who put it up followed the rules. I'm confident that we've tested it and checked it, and it's hung for about 3 years now. So I'm confident that this won't fall on me. Why? Through experience and through knowledge that we've kept to the rules. It's like that with God. He's written the rule book of life. And when you understand him and know him and encounter him, you are confident that when you ask for something, he will back it up. Come boldly. Everyone say, he didn't say boldly. Boldly. You didn't say that, did you? You were worried because you thought, I don't want to offend Pastor Russell with his bald head. But anyway, that's why I wear a hat today. In the earlier services, which have a little older people, I don't wear a hat because they might think I'm too cool. So I just... So, come with confidence. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm confident. That he that started a good work, that means God who started a good work in you. Tell him, will fulfill what he says he's going to do. Tell them, if you can't speak English, speak Spanish. If you can't speak Spanish, speak Mandarin, whatever. If you don't have any language, speak in heavenly language, whatever. So, number one, what do we need to do in these 21 days of prayer and fasting? Come with and ask God to increase our confidence. Too early. You're in the other service, too early. So ask God for our confidence to Rochelle's got the greatest laugh on planet Earth. It's amazing. I can be in any room in the world and don't even know she's there. And then I hear laughter and I'm like, oh, Rochelle's here. It's a cackle. It is a cackle. It is a good cackle, though. We love that cackle. Be confident with your cackle. I didn't say become a Texan. Oh, that's funny. So be confident. If you're confident in your God and confident that He is in you. See, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and lives in you. The Bible says that I'm in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that I am more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. The Bible says in Him I live and move and have my being. In other words, it's in Him that I live my life. So if He's in me and I've got His resurrection power, that means I'm unstoppable, and so are you. That's why every human being on planet Earth should understand that if you invite Jesus to live in your life and you invite God into your life, it makes you unstoppable. That nothing is impossible. Wow. So, Jesus, just to give you a little bit of chronology on Jesus, Jesus grew up in His earthly father's home, which wasn't His real father, because it wasn't His father's seed that impregnated Mary. It was God the Father, miraculous conception, we all know that, right? So God, but He was raised by Joseph and Mary, and Joseph was a carpenter, and for 30 years he was in a carpenter's house helping his father. He wasn't healing the sick, wasn't raising the dead, he wasn't doing all of that. Then one day he goes and sees his cousin in the back of the desert who's baptizing people. It's called John the Baptist. And as he comes, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And God gives him a prophetic view. He quite possibly, and I don't think this would have happened, that him and his growing up with his cousin, he would have thought, gee, here comes the Messiah. But it was in that moment God gave him a revelation of who was in His presence. And the Bible says he's baptized in water, it comes up, and a dove, the Holy Spirit comes upon him as a form of a dove. In other words, it didn't come as a dove, but came upon him. And from that day on, the Holy Spirit remained. It's very encouraging to us, because that's what God does to us. He comes upon us. He lives in us, but He comes upon us. Then Jesus is led to the wilderness and He goes through the temptation. And the devil's trying to tempt Him to do this and do that. And He says, no, it is written, because He knows the authority of God's word and He has a relationship with His Father in heaven. So He doesn't bow to the temptation, even though His flesh wants to. And so we see here in Luke chapter 4, He comes out of that experience. This is in that experience where He goes into the temple after that, and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me, and declares what His mission is. But He comes out in Luke chapter 4 and it says this, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power, and reports about Him spread quickly through the region. In other words, He came back, He turned the water into wine, He started healing people, He started raising people from the dead, He started seeing the miraculous, He started teaching like no one else taught, He started seeing provision, He started seeing the norms broken. Why? Because He had come out of this experience and now He had a larger capacity. So I want us to pray over these next 21 days. God, enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my ability to receive from You. Enlarge. You see, I've discovered this. If Jesus lives in me, then there's no limitation. So why am I living in limitation? It's because my mindset needs to be enlarged. My knowledge needs to be enlarged. How I see God needs to be enlarged, so my capacity is enlarged. You imagine if you came from the outback somewhere, you'd been living on light your own fire, there was no electricity, no, you live remotely, never seen a TV, never seen anything, right? You don't have any knowledge. And I hand you an iPhone. And you say, what's that? Oh, it's an iPhone. What's an iPhone? And they open up the package and they have this little white wire and you're going, I wonder what that's for. Maybe it's like a decoration or something. I don't know. And then he has a little plug and you say, you need to plug that in. And you turn it on and this Apple appears and you're like, what's that? And you start, you can't understand. And so you never, ever get this thing to operate in its capacity because you have a lack of knowledge. The problem with a lot of Christians is they know about God, but they don't know God, and they don't discover the capacity He's created you to live with. The Bible says, those that know their God shall do great exploits. The Bible says, Paul praying says, I pray that you'd give me a spirit of revelation, knowledge, and understanding. What else does he say? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So what is he saying is, Lord, I want to know you through experience, not just through reading, but through experience. The way I've learned to discover a lot of the capacity of this phone is through experience. Someone might have taught me, I might have looked up on the internet, but it's through experience that I encounter what this can do. And it's through experiencing God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, verse 19 says, that you might come to know the love of Christ through experience. So over these next 21 days, let's have an experience with God and say, God, increase my knowledge of you, increase my revelation of you, increase my ability to understand you, so then I can walk with you with a greater capacity. So God is never the issue of capacity, we are. The last thing. You good? Yeah. Learning something? Yeah. Luke 4:22, it goes on and says this. 8 verses later. Everyone, this is Jesus coming out of the wilderness just before he had been, you know, baptized, and he came out. And the Bible says that everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they ask, isn't this Joseph's son? See, what increased in his life was compassion. You go all through the scripture and you see Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. He saw that they were hungry and he was moved and they fed the 5,000. He saw the blind person and he was moved with compassion. My prayer for all of us is in the next 21 days that God will increase our compassion. Our compassion for the city, our compassion for our families, our compassion for our friends, our compassion for our enemies. Our compassion, you say, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, that's good. But some people have people attacking you. Have compassion for them because they don't understand. Have compassion for people you don't know. Have compassion for people you do know. See, God wants to increase our compassion. I've discovered this. When you get in God's presence and you get real close with God, you become more compassionate. You lose your hard, mongrel side and you become more compassionate. Now, God wants to give you wisdom and how to use your compassion because some people use their compassion incorrectly. They get abused and used. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about using your compassion wisely and steward it so you can help people. I totally believe, you know, our Empower ministry does an amazing work, but I totally believe in not just handouts, but hand ups. We need to help people become better, not just to receive something, but actually receive something to become more. See, I can't live my life just with a handout mentality. I have to live my life with a hand up mentality. I'm giving you something to lift you up. So Jesus came out of the wilderness and they said, his words are so gracious.
we used to hang with this dude. He was Joseph's son, but there's something different about him. He'd been praying and fasting. He'd been with his father. He got to know his heavenly father even more intimately because Jesus was both God and man. But as he walked the earth, he operated as a man like you and I would to show us that nothing's impossible. So this year, I want us, and I'm believing that in these next 21 days, Let's ask God for more confidence and let's come boldly into his presence. Let's ask God for a greater capacity and let's see God increase our experiences of him. By the way, you can read about something and have a revelation about something, but if you don't apply what you've learned, you never learn. Lord, I'm believing for more sick people to be healed. Okay, God says, I'm the healer. Yes, I know. He says, go heal. Yeah. Don't we have a prayer team that we could ring up to do that? Yes, we do, but you can do it too. Yeah. How are you ever going to experience a friend of mine? Because your obedience increases your capacity. You know, God has told me at times to do things and I'm like, this church is an example. Come to Melbourne, start a church. We have now over 16,000 people on our way to 17,000 people. If I had just thought, I'm going to get a picture of a church that God gave me and I'm going to put it on my screensaver and stay in Adelaide and look at that picture and go, One day, because you've got to have a vision, you know, one day. God gave me revelation, one day. My capacity would be kept to a screen. But because I said, today is the day of salvation, today is the day to obey, today. And you know, to live in today, you need today. You need today, T-O-T-O-day, today. You need T-W-O day, today. Because when I left Adelaide, it wasn't me going by myself. My Bible says that everywhere my foot treads is my inheritance. Well, how do I receive an inheritance? I have to have somebody who walks alongside of me, who guides me and leads me. When we left Adelaide, we brought Jesus with us to do this. 150,000 people watch us online every week. Millions of people follow us on social media. Last year, Planet Shakers band played to over 940,000 people face to face. This year, it will be close to 6 million people. How does that happen? Because today, two T-W-O day went together. See, God is looking for partnerships. Some of us pray for God to move. God, would you move? And he says, yes, I'm waiting for you. But tomorrow you could do that. No, I'm not a tomorrow guy. I'm a today guy. And I'll look after you tomorrow if you look after today. Today. So when we hopped on a plane and Sam drove here with all the luggage, I had to go to a meeting. We came not with just the Evans family, we came with Heaven's family. We put a H on Evans and said, good, Evans is Heaven's. Bad joke. But holy God, mighty God, came with us. So yes, we had knowledge. Yes, we had revelation. Yes, we had encounter. But we had to step from today to the next day, to the next day, and to the next day. Now we have a campus in South Africa. Why? because we just didn't sit with a picture of Cape Town and go, wow, that's a nice city. Oh, it's got a lot of problems with poverty, but that's a great city. Amazing. Newlands Cricket Ground's there. Yeah, one day. One day. If you live in one day, it's just you. But if you live in 2 day, T-W-O, it's you and him. And when he's involved, he says you can't stop still. You got to keep moving. Today. The Bible doesn't say one day is the day of salvation. The Bible says 2 day is the day of salvation. Salvation cannot come with one person alone. Jesus died for the whole world, one person. But it's each one of us coming to Jesus that creates a 2 day, not a 1 day. You're getting stuff that I haven't had in the other services. So instead of living for yourself, by yourself, about yourself, start living for him, with him, and get directed by him. And then you'll be amazed, my capacity. When I first started out in ministry, I had a small urban life group. We grew it to 50. I thought that was pretty awesome. Then we partitioned it and grew it to 50 again. I thought, that's amazing. Now, if 50 people turned up on Sunday, I'd be very disappointed. Why? Because God has increased my capacity, because my knowledge of him has increased, my knowledge of who he is in me has increased. That's why I have confidence, that's why my capacity gets increased, and that's why my compassion has increased. See, the reason, the number one thing in our church is to see lost people saved from eternity in hell is not anything to do with a statistic. It's to do with a person's lost eternity. Where does that come? In his presence for compassion. See, I have compassion to feed people. We do that. I have compassion to clothe people. We do that. But the worst travesty on earth, if somebody went to hell, fed and clothed, but didn't know Jesus. If I have true compassion, I've compassion for their spirit, soul, and body. Not just one, the whole deal. But you can't change somebody without changing their spirit, and that only comes with encountering Jesus.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.